Welcome, everybody. I'm Akwe Amosu, OSI's Senior Policy Analyst on Africa in Washington, D.C., and just up here for this meeting. It's really a great pleasure to welcome you all. Thank you for making the effort to be here. It's obviously a hugely important subject, and so I know you're not just here for the wine. Before I start, I'm asked to inform you that we are recording this event, as we do all OSI events, and we may make available portions of it on our website. I'm therefore asking people to use the microphones. Both panelists, make sure you're up close, and for people who come and ask questions or make comments, to also make sure they do so from the microphone. I'm also asked to inform you of the nearest emergency exit, she said, looking carefully around to see if she knew where it was. There is one there, there's one there, and obviously there's the door out onto the back and the way you came in, so no shortage in case of a need. Once again, we're at a crossroads with Zimbabwe. I think those of us who, not long after March this time last year, when the prayer meeting was hit so hard and many of the political leaders targeted and tortured, we had a meeting in here, and I'm having a slight sense of deja vu. However, I think it would be true to say that we also sense that this is not just another crackdown without any opportunity or space. We see some glimmer of possibility. And thinking about why that was, I reflected that although Zimbabwe has a history of stolen elections, this time we actually know what people voted. And I think it's useful just to briefly reflect on why that is. A lot of us were incredibly skeptical about the value of even holding an election in these conditions. And I think there's a lesson to be learned here, which is to look closely at what has changed. Quite small changes can make a difference. The SADC region has an electoral standard, and all the countries in the region, except for Swaziland, adhere to this particular clause of the standard that votes should be counted at the polling station, at the local level, and the results should be posted at the local level. I think we have that single clause to thank for knowing that the MDC won the parliamentary election. And I think it threw the ruling party, ZANU-PF, right onto the back foot. I think they probably didn't realise just how important and critical that clause was. So we saw the parliamentary result released, and we saw the Senate result released. I think at that point, the authorities bethought themselves and realised that this was not going in the direction that they wanted to go, and that they needed to think again about how they wanted to handle it. The very fact that they did that, and they decided not to announce the presidential vote, for most of us suggests that either the leader of the MDC won that vote outright, or he won it with something short of 50%, but with a clear majority. Otherwise, it's very, very hard to explain why they didn't announce the results. And since a majority would automatically have triggered a second round, it's mystifying why the ruling party felt they had to have a day-long Politburo meeting to discuss it. Whether they would be willing to go into a second round, a point which caused some people to think that he did win it outright. But we, of course, cannot know what the outcome was. What I think is absolutely critical is that those results should be released. And I think what we want to do today is ask these excellent panelists to set out for us the situation on the ground, the current human rights situation, which has been sadly neglected by the authorities in the region, and to look at some of the policy options that are available at this point, to try and understand where this situation might be headed and whether indeed there is an exit point. We are right to think that there's a glimmer of light at the end of this tunnel. So I think the best thing for me to do is to just introduce the panelists as we go. Quick note that I'm afraid I will have to leave right near the end in order to catch a train, and at that point I will hand over to Georgette to finish off the meeting, but we'll see how far we go. Maybe we'll be ending at that point anyway. So, to my right, I have Otto Saki. He's a Zimbabwean lawyer and a current human rights fellow at Columbia Law School. He previously served as the acting director of Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, an extraordinary organization, enormous courage, and has worked to defend human rights and opposition activists in Zimbabwean courts. He's also the winner in 2006 of the Reebok Human Rights Award. I'm going to ask Otto to kick off for us by giving a situation report on the ground, and I'll ask him to come back at the end and give us a sense of what he thinks needs to be done from outside Zimbabwe to help move the situation forward. Otto, thank you.